Well, my text is John 3, verse 19, which says, light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Or light has come into the world, but people preferred darkness, I suppose, is a more succinct verse. Now, when I first started teaching, I couldn't drive. My father and mother never had a car, so they couldn't drive. There was nowhere to learn it either. And I was teaching in the school. It was on two sites. So regularly, four or five times a week, I'd have to move from the lower school to the upper school and vice versa, which was about 1.2 miles. And they only gave you 15 minutes to do it. If you do the sums, you've got to be shifting to do that, especially when it's pelting down with rain. So after 2 years of this, I resolved I've got to learn to drive. I've got to buy a cheap car. So one night, very late at night, I was walking home and I walked past a second-hand car sales thing. And I saw, it was pitch dark, but I saw this black Ford. I thought it was a Ford, but it was so dark, I couldn't read the registration or anything. And inside the windscreen was the price. It looked like £106 or something. I thought, well, I could probably have a go at raising £106 to buy this car. Anyway, so the following day, I rang the car salespeople and they said, no, not you, mate. We haven't got a black Ford for £106. I said, well, I'm sure you have, because I walked past only last night. No, he said. I said, well, you know, are you sure? What cars have we got? He said, the cheapest car we got is £108 and it's red. And as soon as he said it, the penny dropped. I realised in the pitch darkness, I couldn't tell what colour it was, could I? I couldn't even read the price accurately. I couldn't read the registration, but I'd got the colour wrong. I couldn't, it was too dark, that's my title really. It was too dark for me to accurately say what the colour was. Now, I could have stood my ground and been awkward and said to the fella, no, it was black. You say it was red, I say it was black. But I had to admit that I was wrong. I was wrong. I admitted that the darkness had rendered me incapable of seeing correctly. Now, when I was teaching, year 10, we would always start on optics, light, and we do lots of different things. And then we put up the old slide projector. This is going back a long time now. This is the time of steam engines and things. We'd have the slide projector up, and we do the colour blindness tests, where you put all these coloured dots on the screen, and you ask the class to shout out what number they can see, and everybody shouts, it's 27, except eventually you will find a boy. If you do it with all the classes, which we used to, you will find a boy or a number of boys who sit there and they go, 54, sir. And everybody else says, it's 27. Because the boy has just discovered he is red-green deficient. He is colourblind. But up till then, he's never known it. He hasn't noticed. In fact, I actually worked with a lady whose father was colourblind and whose mother carried the gene. And she was what's called double recessive. She was colourblind on all colours. Very rare for a woman to be colourblind at all. But she was colourblind on all colours. And she was a science teacher, so when it came to using litmus tests and things, she had no idea. She had to have somebody sitting there to tell her. She could not tell the change in the colours. But, of course, she knew that she was colourblind, and so she adapted with her clothes matching and all that. She had labels and things, so she knew what colour, she trusted people to tell her what colour things were. But the point was, she could have insisted everybody else is fibbing, couldn't she? She could have. Now, the Christmas story, often, when we have the Christmas story, somebody will read from Isaiah, 700 years before Jesus is born, and chapter 9, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Now, that's not a physical thing. This is spiritual, logical deduction, if you like. They now can see spiritual reality. If you, well, let me ask you, can you see? People love darkness. The light has come. No problem with the light. The light has come. But the people prefer the darkness. And Jesus is angry in John chapter 9, for instance, with religious leaders because they think and claim that they can see when they can't see. the spiritual penny drops when the people walking in darkness can see a great light. This is the bottom line in John 3. Light has come, but the people prefer the darkness. Why do they prefer it? They like it. Their deeds are evil. They like it in the darkness. They don't want to come into the light. They're fine as they are. They don't need this light. They can see all they want to see. Like me with the car that was £106 in black, I thought. I sincerely thought that I was wrong. And I have to admit I was wrong. I remember standing at a graveside preaching in Maesteg, and a former pupil coming up to me. I'd never taught this lady, who was now like 50 or something, coming up to me and saying, "Seen the light of your love?" "Well, I have," I said, "yes." Now, I'm not quite sure what she meant by that. Maybe she meant you see everything differently, God and heaven and Jesus and the devil and hell, in which case she was spot on. I see everything differently now. The light has come. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 4, "The God who said, let light shine out of darkness," which is page 1 of the Bible, Genesis 1, page 1. "The God who said, let light shine out of darkness has shone in our hearts," says Paul, "to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Now, let me ask you, has that happened to you? So that we know every Christian can see, and they know they can see, because the light of the gospel of the glory of God has shone into their hearts. You know, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." And he shone into the soul or spirit or heart, whatever you want to call it, of every Christian. They can see, and they know that they can see. And they know that nobody else can see who's outside of Christ. You know, I remember a Christian, 18-year-old Christian, in school, in sixth form, telling me that he'd had a big debate with the biology teacher on some of the stuff that she was saying about evolution and so on. And he said, "I was only asking her a question. She got so nasty, sir." I said, "Well, yeah, well, she's going to get nasty. She's in the darkness. She likes it in the darkness. To step out of that, she's pinning all her hopes on no God and random collisions of atoms and random mutations producing everything. She's frightened of getting out of the darkness, because if you were right, she's in big trouble. You've got to realize she's in the darkness." Mr. Johnson, the Prime Minister, announced relaxation of certain COVID things. The reaction on the following morning in the papers that I looked at, instead of saying, "Oh, at last, some relaxation," they were accusing him of putting a stranglehold on us. They were saying things like this: "This is like being released from prison with electronic tags on our ankles, and we've got to report to the police station twice a day forever." Well, why are they saying such, well, ridiculous things, really? Why are they saying such illogical, unreasonable stuff? And the answer is, of course, that their sin, their self-ego, the sin, clouds their vision. They can't see past their own wants, their own needs. Anything that has a potential to spoil their fun, they don't like it. They can't see clearly. I remember, Trent punches home, I remember when I attended my very first parents' meeting as a young teacher. And a guy came up. He was a very important man in the world of education. I knew him a bit, and he knew who I was. And he sat down, and in the course of the conversation about his daughter, who was lovely, and he was a nice guy too, and she was lovely, the daughter. But he said to me, "Look now," it was about, could his daughter do A-level physics the following year, okay? And he said, "Look, be honest now, Al. Is she good enough?" And since he said, "Be honest," I thought, well, I'll be honest then. So I said, "It's going to be touch and go, you know. I don't know." Well, suddenly he changed. "What?" he said. "My daughter, you telling me my daughter's not good enough?" Well, why did he say that? Because we're all the same. Me, me, me. But the problem is we can't see it mostly, can we? Because we love the darkness. Have you seen what you are? Now, when that 15-year-old girl was miraculously healed like that in Morriston Hospital that Saturday afternoon years ago. And her parents and boyfriend hugged each other and grabbed hold of me and shouted, "You brought God with you. We'll be in church tomorrow." But they never came. Not once. Not a girl. Never came. Why? Even though they promised. Because the darkness is very, very dark. A religious author said he was a Christian. I don't know. But he, you know, Hebrews 6:1, that some people, they're enlightened a bit, but they haven't actually been converted. Anyway, this religious author said, if we read the newspapers every day, what do we see? Thousands of prayers God hasn't answered. Well, where do we start with somebody who's in the dark like that? Where do we start? You know, 1 Corinthians 2, again, Apostle Paul says, the person without the Holy Spirit, the person who's not converted, who isn't saved, the person without the Holy Spirit, they can't discern spiritual things. They can't see spiritual reality. They just can't. They're in the dark, and they're happy to be in the dark. That's the problem, isn't it? That people like to be in the dark. They like it. You know, sorry, I've lost my place. Ah, right, sorry. So we're all the same. You know, I think of myself before I was a Christian, as an atheistic teacher. You know, all the so many experiments we did in physics about cause and effect and cause and effect, you know? There's this particular effect where we must look for the cause. And then when it comes to somebody asking me a simple question about how did everything get here, how did the world get here, I ditch all the common sense. I abandon all common sense now, and I insist on a big bang that just happened by chance, no God, no creator, no cause, no reason. Now, why did I suddenly check out common sense? Because I was in the darkness. I couldn't see, but I didn't want to see either. Is that you? See, the Lord pities me when I can't see, but he's also angry with me when I prefer not to be able to see. John 5, the religious leaders before Jesus, and Jesus says, you will not come to me to have life. You will not come. See, it's not just our poor dabs as their victims. No, they refuse to come. You refuse to come to me. See, by nature, we're not just victims. We're rebels. We're anarchists. We stick the finger up to God. That's what we do. We hate the light. We hate the light. It's not unlike if you sleep in soundly in the dark and somebody comes in and suddenly switches the bright light on. It's very unpleasant, isn't it? It's annoying. I was just thinking this week that Prince Philip passed away. The Queen enjoyed listening to Billy Graham. She admired him. She invited him to Buckingham Palace at least one occasion. Did the Queen see her need? I don't know. Did she see only Jesus could save her? I don't know. Did she see she was in the dark spiritually? I don't know. Did she pass that on, if she did see, to Prince Philip? I don't know. What I do know is, after 70-odd years of being married to the Queen, Prince Philip, and everywhere he goes, people bowing, suddenly now he's breathed his last. Wherever he is, there's nobody bowing to him now. Nobody bowing now. See, this gospel of Jesus Christ dying on the cross, serious. It's life and death. It's very, very serious. There was a young law student in 1505, a young law student, and he was suddenly caught in a lightning storm. Some of you know the story. Boy, is he scared. He's scared of dying. Have you ever been in a situation where you're scared? Oh, dear me, this could be the end. He's terrified. So he does what religious people did in 1505, where he lived. He calls out to St. Anne, the mother of Mary to protect him, and he gives her a pledge that he'll throw in the towel regarding law. He'll forget his law studies now, and he'll go into a monastery. Most of you knew that story, I guess. When he enters the monastery, his supervisor gives him a project to write a dissertation on a large book of theology, which was written by Peter Lombard, which had been in print for years because Lombard was born in 1096. This is like a 400-year-old, big, thick theology textbook. But that's not all the supervisor gave him. He gave him a textbook and said, do the studies on that. But he gave him another book to help him. Do you know what it was? The Bible. Luther had never held a Bible in his life. He's gone into a monastery. He's religious. He'd never held a Bible in his life. The other interesting thing was this. His superior lent him the Bible and said, I'll have it back in a year if you haven't finished reading it, or whenever you have. The point I'm making is, in that religious system, the Roman Catholic system, the church tradition dominated. The Bible was only used occasionally to back up the tradition, for instance, that Peter Lombard had written in his book. No wonder that must be 12 or 13 years later, Luther was converted. It was a long time later. But about 12 or 13 years later, when Luther was converted, he saw his conversion as God flinging open the gates of heaven and the light flooding into his soul. Let me ask you, do you know what he meant? Any idea what Luther meant? Light has come. Well, has it come to you? I read just last week, David and Goliath, you know, all know the story, 1 Samuel 17, where David comes against Goliath, and David says to Goliath, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God you have defied. See, what's happening there? David can see spiritually on the level Goliath can't. He can see that with a handful of pebbles, he can go against this heavily armed giant of a warrior and kill him. See, what about you now then? Have you welcomed the light? It took years for Luther. But, you know, some of you haven't got years, perhaps. We don't know, do we? We don't know. You know, in any case, some of you youngsters, you know, why I want you to see now and not wait 12 or 13 years, I want you to see now is because if you don't see, you waste your life. You'll waste time. You'll just waste your life. But in any case, you don't know when you're going to die, do you? I stood at the graveside of young people, kids I taught even. Nobody knows. We don't know the day, do we? The Lord knows when you're going to die. And he's got you here today, wonderfully, so you can hear the gospel. Now, say to the Lord, open my eyes, Lord, that I may see wonderful things. Say that. Pray that. Ask the Lord to shine into your heart so you can see. Plead with him, Lord, don't pass me by. Will you do that? So the light won't have just come into the world vaguely, but come into your heart, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll sing.